Step one, throw out any negative perception you have of social media.
Nobody here today is confused that human beings' attention sits on social media at scale. Everybody here has an opinion of that. Unfortunately, many people here deploy their human opinion, their feelings about TikTok and China, or Facebook and Zucks, or that their kids are on it too long. You deploy your subjective human opinion as a human on it when thinking about your actual business. The consumer you're trying to reach to sell your service to is really not super interested on your hot take of what 13-year-olds are doing on TikTok. They're not super intrigued by how much you like or dislike Facebook. They just live their life, see things, and spend their money. I want every person in this room after this conference to go home tomorrow and post somewhere between 8 and 15 pieces of content on LinkedIn, YouTube Shorts, Facebook, Instagram, Snap, TikTok, and I want you to do it every day. I know that nobody wants to do that. I know this because I watch the world. This is clear. What I just said is 100%. It's non-debatable fact that the people that are outflanking in every micro segment of every business, in the output of creative, and of course the quality matters. Of course the quality of what comes out of your mouth is a variable of your success. But before you even start the debate of what do you say, or what are you talking about, or how are you doing this, the data is undeniable that the companies and humans in service businesses that are outposting its competitive set are picking up market share by the simple fact of there's just too much attention of society on these 7 to 10 platforms. There are people in this room that will do one video of here's a fun fact of the opportunities in mortgages, post that on Instagram Reels and TikTok, and it, with no followers, you do not have an account yet, and it's your 7th video, and one video like that may go viral and lead to more leads for you in a 24-hour window than you would get the entire year. That happens every day. Yet, we continue to choose not to look. There's way too much deciding on subjective opinion in this room, and it's not about this room, it's the whole world. The reason I can say it is I see the data across the whole world. This is what's happening. This is why there's a supply and demand opportunity. Life is very simple. It's supply and demand. It's actually shockingly simple. If you understand supply and demand in every aspect about everything about life, you will start to understand how to make decisions. Very simply, the thing that I want to compel this room to is to understand the single biggest opportunity of under supply, not enough posts against demand, too much consumption, is leading to remarkable opportunity. So it's just classic, right? Like every single person here knows how to get into better shape. Everyone. There's not a person in this room that does not understand that it is a combination of eating better and going to the gym. Yet, I think we can all agree, not everyone in this room is doing that. I struggled with that for 40 years. 38 years, I never wanted to do either. And then I just, one day on a plane, decided this is not gonna end up well, and I started working on it. 8 years later, I still never want to do it a single day. I literally hired a full-time human being to be my babysitter and travel. I'm being dead serious. I got to the financial level where I finally figured it out. I'm very good at being accountable to others. Just because it comes natural to me to do 10 posts a day, I know that for 80% of this room, it does not. But just like the journey I went on, which is I didn't want to die at 65. I thought it would be better to live longer. I like it. I'm doing something every day for 9 straight years that I genuinely, genuinely hate. And so I don't care how much you hate social media. I don't care that you've decided it's ruined the world and the kids and the this and the that and the, I do genuinely don't care. Because your customer doesn't care. It doesn't care what you think of it. I just desperately need you to stop losing market share. Because if you're not gonna do it, somebody else is. And those referrals are great and they'll keep you going, but I don't have to explain to anybody here that if you don't get more, it's eventually gonna run out.
Step two, does your content sell the product?
Can someone here define quality for me?
If it sells the product, it's a quality ad. So that's interesting. You've just we need to be friends immediately. I agree with that. One of the absolute things we should judge when we say quality is, does it sell the product? I do believe quality has to factor in it achieving the mission at hand, which is to get someone to buy it. I also believe that the way quality is debated in every boardroom in the Fortune 500 CPG landscape is completely based on someone's opinion, if it is hitting luxury enough, funny enough, irreverent enough, their personal opinion. And so I think that we must define quality first. I think everyone here intuitively understands, if they had to bet their children's health on it, what the TikTok would look like to make it SK2 sell probably looks very different than what would be approved by everyone in here. And that becomes the debate that I would like to have, because why are we emotional about what is relevant? Why are we emotional about what is relevant? Today, luxury around the world requires for growth to do partnerships with streetwear brands. Do you understand 25 years ago, if you told Louis Vuitton or Gucci or Hermes that they would be doing collaboration deals with street kids from Queens, they would laugh you out of the room. But they got to a point where they couldn't win on relevance enough anymore without them. We must learn from what's happened prior to us. If you do not acquire 25 and 27 and 20 year olds who, as you know, every day are requiring more and more from their formulas, so much so that our point of differentiation on the massive, incredible formula we have continues to close the gap. If we do not become relevant under 35 and yesterday, we will all wake up and realize that it was our era that put the executives that are dealing with the issues 5 years from now in a precarious spot. While you are the custodians of this iconic brand, I ask you to not put the next group in a precarious position. My friends, we don't have a lot more time putzing around. We must get much more relevant very quickly, grounded in platform and culture truths. And we must allow our insecurities and egos and ideologies, we need to leave them at the door and walk into these boardrooms and win on consumer truth. We must. We have to challenge, and we must talk to our bosses, bosses, bosses with respect, but with candor of what's actually happening with the consumer. And you all know it. That to me, you know, that's the part. That's what motivates me to do stuff like this. If I can get one person in here to just say, you know what, I am gonna say something in the next meeting. I don't believe that the circulation of this magazine is actually how many impressions we're getting. Yes, enough. I believe in marketing and branding over everything. But measuring brand is like measuring love. Measuring brand is like measuring God. I understand that you have reports to justify it, but it doesn't mean it's true. So we need to bring common sense back to the table. When we have media and creative together, which is a whole nother conversation that has to happen in this industry, we must bring back media and creative together under one roof for one agency so we can hold them accountable. Because this whole game of this is doing nothing for us. The model that I believe in is desperate to be held accountable to business. The industry has done everything to not be held accountable. And so that's how I would do it with brand, because you know you're affecting them not because of discounting, not because you're a good sales organization, you have incredible placement within the store, it's because you've proven that messaging has compelled more people to buy something than not. And so that's how you would do it.
Step three, stay authentic to you.
So for a lot of you, content fatigue comes from the fact that it's selfish, not selfless. That's not bad. I have plenty of selfish wants and needs too. But I think the reason you can easily get to a place of not having content fatigue is similar to what resonated for you about loving the process. Once you make all of your content for the sake of the person on the other side of it, you'll never stop. The second one's ironically the complete reverse answer. The thing that you need to do with overwhelming is to be kinder to yourself. With all the hats that you're wearing, especially mothering three children, all of us
beat ourselves up too much. That's where you need to be very selfish. The place where everyone needs to be the most selfish is in the way they love themselves. The way things are quiet for me and not overwhelming is I'm my biggest fan. But not in a narcissistic, egotistical way, in a I'm compassionate to me. You have to be nicer to yourself. We're human beings. Every person in here is gonna do something stupid today. I think I'm really good at stuff. Business, I'll make it narrow. I think I'm really good at business. I'm gonna make 150 big mistakes this year. Having the capacity to be kind to yourself and predicated on your effort is everything. You know, and that doesn't mean don't hold yourself to a standard. That means just have more compassion to yourself. You're juggling a lot of shit. Family, business, brand, three children, and content creator, you've got a lot going on. You're allowed to have a bad hour. You're allowed to have a bad day. You're allowed to have a bad week, month, and you're allowed to have a bad year. We just need to be nicer to ourselves. I think all of us have to really recognize who we are. You know, for me, I genuinely am more passionate about being a nice person than I am about being a successful businessman. But I just happen to be also good at business. It's been something I've been thinking a lot about, which is like, why am I so capable of being happy so often? Why don't I have the normal amount of anxiety when I have the rationale to have way more anxiety? When you're being judged at the level that I'm being judged, when you are 47 and have lots of dynamics in your life at that point, like when, like there's a lot going on in my life, and yet it's just all so quiet. And so you start asking yourself why, and it's how I got to that conclusion. I'm like, oh right, I just don't care. I don't care that I'm good at business. I don't think I'm special. This is all very nice, and it feels incredible to have people say nice things, following, like, but I don't think it makes me special. I just don't. I think that's good parenting. I think that's luck of DNA. I think there's a lot of things going on there. But I can tell you that the faster all of you can get there, the happier you will be.
How late did that come for you, or how early?
It came so early. Wow. The reason I liked high school so much was I didn't give a fuck what people thought of me. Yeah. That's really hard. Like, it seemed normal to me. The reason I was such a good businessman was I did business instead of trying to be popular. I did business instead of trying to get good grades. The only thing I think I'm actually great at, like truly, is being myself. If I could wish anything for all of you besides health, it would be deep self-awareness. Because once you know who you are, you can actually start to navigate the world outside the framework of the world. This is why I talk a lot about buying watches and like, most people buy shit to project, not because they actually like it. They think they like it. They don't understand the bigger meaning. They like the affirmation. They like the attention. They like the validation. They don't actually like it. They force themselves to like it as a proxy to get what they wanted.